Hey everyone, welcome to Wallace Hartley Presents the podcast.
The White Power Podcast.
It's not the White Power Podcast.
This was the WHP Podcast.
Yeah.
I assumed it meant White Power, and I thought that was fucking hilarious to have a brown guy on the White Power Podcast.
But you know that it's not. It's Wallace Hartley Presents, which WHP stands for. Why in the...
Oh, you're confused. I'm talking about white Russians.
Yeah,
I thought this was an anti-communist podcast.
Okay. No, you didn't. Okay. You're just stirring up shit as usual. Hey, it's good to have you along. This is episode 4 of our podcast. And we got some great topics for you today. I'm pretty excited. So we will be talking about the loyal leader of the opposition, NDP party here in Canada, our esteemed Jagmeet Singh.
And he is not the leader of the opposition.
Yeah, the NDP is the opposition.
They have more seats than the Conservatives or the Bloc.
No way. Yeah.
No way.
Look it up, dude.
No way.
And his getting kicked out of Parliament for calling the French guy a racist.
Good riddance.
So that'll be fun. We're going to talk
he called that French guy. Fucking French guys.
We're going to talk about Walmart. Walmart just can't win.
I feel bad for Walmart. I mean,
I don't.
They used to be have some sort of cultural cachet as a villain, and I think Amazon has supplanted them on that.
Well, not money wise. They're worth more than Jeff Bezos. Walmart's All Life Matters t-shirts on the Canadian online store.
All lives matter.
And the really exciting thing that you told me about, and I'm very excited about this, because you just can't make this up.
Yeah.
Trump and Roswell.
Now, an important thing. It's easy to laugh or mock this topic.
Yeah.
But it's going to go into something real, and it's going to go into something deep, and something possibly
I'm sure
world
it is.
Shaking is underneath it.
I'm sure it is, but I need to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
When you and I first started discussing this podcast, which eventually became the Wallace Hartley Presents podcast.
The White Power Podcast, yes.
You know, it's the discussions we had were a lot different than what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I feel that weekly we're gradually slipping into National Enquirer territory.
I'm here to drag you into the sewer, Glenn. I just want to put this out there. If there's anyone involved with the national security state that is requiring an outlet for disinformation, this podcast is for sale. Just putting it out there right now.
Oh. And by the way, now, and this is just today, and I didn't read any further details. I was driving over here, and I heard it on the radio. So they announced today phase 3 we're going into with reopening of British Columbia during COVID-19. So I have no idea what phase 3 is. What I do know is that as soon as they mentioned phase 2, they hadn't even rolled out phase 2. As soon as they mentioned it, people were like packing shit into their campers and they were hitting the bars. And it was just like they didn't hear anything past. We're thinking about phase 2. Boom. Oh, it's over. Good. Let's go. You know what I mean? So phase 3, I have no idea what that's
going to be. To be honest, that was me.
Was it?
That was me. I heard phase 2 and I didn't hear anything that came past that. And I was just like, I'm going to the gym. I'll see you later.
And gyms may not be a thing anymore.
No.
I saw a very interesting picture. I think it was on Instagram. A gym in California. And they have, they just made like pods, separate pods in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they didn't use plexiglass. They used another type of like soft plastic. But yeah, they just like built these square boxes that are pretty big, like the size of this studio. and each person works out in there.
So it's like a giant gerbil labyrinth.
Yeah, and I looked at this and I was like, wow, people are really far away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's talking. They're just doing their own thing. I would actually, if I could go to a gym where I didn't have to fucking talk or listen to people and just have a workout, I might consider that.
I've enjoyed being at the gym in the presence of people and ignoring them. I enjoy that freedom. I like being antisocial, but I like being antisocial in a social space.
Really?
Otherwise, it doesn't give me the same type of satisfaction.
Yeah, I'm happy to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get too wound up.
I know you get wound up.
And that's not cool.
You get red, Glenn.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And that's not cool when...
Your age, your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm holding like a kettlebell.
Mm-hmm.
And people are pissing me off. Not good. Anyways.
I have to say, though, at my gym, people have been very polite. There is a very liberal use of sanitizer. That place smells like cheap vodka.
Does it?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think that's what the hand sanitizer is actually consists of these days. It smells drinkable.
Yeah. And that's not good.
It's not like the stuff that comes out of the bottle that you pay $5 for that has a hint of aloe or flowers. So this stuff just smells like hooch.
Okay, so what you're telling me is the gyms are open. I can go back. And now there's lots of social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be triggered and have a relapse because everything smells like fucking vodka. Oh,
and awesome. And in North Vancouver, you can get shit-faced on the beach.
Why? You know, just... We're stupid enough in this town. Do we need, you know?
It's like after we got sober, they legalized weed and they made it so you could drink outside. It's fucking bullshit.
I know. You know what? I was in Scotland. I told you that. That's my claim to fame, mm-hmm. where I got sober. And I was like 2 months maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe 3 months. And I ventured out. I'm like, I want to go see a movie in the middle of the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so I bought my ticket, I'm getting my popcorn, doing all that, and buddy's rolling by with a tray, a cart on wheels, and there's like beer and spirits. And I said to the guy behind the counter selling me the popcorn, the kid, I'm like, what's that? He goes, oh yeah, they just started that. They're yeah. selling alcohol in the theaters now. I'm like, this is going to be harder than I thought.
I know. There's a push to legalize certain pharmaceutical opiates. It's just...
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Trying to kill me.
No.
All righty. So, let me get this...
You want to get this Walmart thing off your chest. All lives matter.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You know, are they...
It's a non... I don't know. It's a fairly non-controversial statement. All lives matter. If you're a member of the Jain religion, that's a religious tenet. All lives matter. Whether they be worm... Listen, or human lives.
So, yeah, Walmart's under fire for having insensitive t-shirts for sale online in the wake of global Black Lives Matter protests after the death of George Floyd. T-shirts on Walmart's online store read, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and even Irish Lives Matter, which is kind of code for cops, right?
Okay.
The phrases are widely considered to be in counter-protest to the Black Lives Matter movement. In a statement to Global News, Walmart Canada said, at Walmart Canada, we stand against any form of racism or discrimination. Right there, I'm going to cut that off and call bullshit right there.
What are you talking about? The first person I see when I hit a Walmart is a colored octogenarian. Yeah. They cannot be racist.
They're nothing but racist, man. We promote listening, seeking to understand, and embracing individual differences. At this point, like in post, can you put in some nice melodic strings and some birds chirping and shit? Because
we could do
I
that.
Need that in the background.
We could do that.
Today, our third-party marketplace has a number of items with variations on the phrase... Lives matter. We'll continue to review those items to ensure compliance with our terms and conditions. This is almost the identical response the RCMP head to being accused of systemic racism. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's just one more thing on the list of places I don't have to worry about not shopping at. Because I've never fucking shopped there since they showed up in this country.
I mean, I don't think they're... by doing this, they're not alienating their core clientele.
No, you don't want to alienate the fucking poor white trash.
Hey, whoa. I think the core clientele of Walmart are people who are economically disenfranchised. And this entire race-baiting scheme that seems to be going on is probably not at the forefront of their consciousness.
So apparently they have 12,000 stores worldwide. And they're bringing in $500 billion a year. Now, these figures are from 2018.
They're bigger than countries, economically speaking.
The combined wealth of the Walton siblings is $163.2 billion. That's more than Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett combined.
So we're getting into that mythical... That Rothschild Jew money.
Yes, the Koch brothers are the second wealthiest family in the U.S. Well, and how can I not hate this family?
They're rich.
They pay people shit, like a lot of places, not even minimum wage, to the point, and then they only give them enough hours, right? So not enough to qualify for benefits, so that a lot of their employees are on food stamps in the U.S.
They're anti-union, goes without saying.
But in Canada, they're union.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Walmart's a unionized in Canada. I don't know if all of them are, but many of them are. So I don't know if that's a testament to Canadian socialism. Or whatever.
Well, there's still the vestiges of a union movement within Canada.
Yeah, I guess. So, you know, on a separate note, so all lives matter. And, you know, who was the person not paying attention to everything that's going on right now that they would say, oh, we could probably stock these online and they'll sell well. So they're either doing this deliberately because they know a ton of, you know, white supremacists are going to go, hey, you can get them over here. That'll piss people off. We'll buy those. Or they're just like that fucking clueless that they would actually have these on their store.
To play as a devil's advocate.
Yes.
You have to look at how many items they're selling as well. Online. Is this available in stores or online?
Just online.
Just online.
Only in Canada.
Only in Canada. Okay. Yeah. One thing though is I this may be false, but I have read in business newspapers, which I pick up once in a while when I feel like going to sleep, that Walmart has been in competition or trying to corner the market or get in on the market that Amazon has, which is being a platform for resellers.
Yes.
And third parties selling things. So it's not necessarily the case that Walmart HQ is aware or cognizant of everything being sold on their website.
It's Walmart.
It's easy for us. Like, we want to pick easy targets and just shit on everyone right now. But I'm just saying, sometimes nuanced explanations for these types of things.
These are people who deserve to be shit on. Have you ever seen that fucking bitch on any of, like, the... Whoa.
That is sexist language.
Yes, you're right. Sorry. So, on a separate note, though, to maybe counteract Walmart's stupidity, ignorance, and racism, do you know who Bubba Wallace is?
I didn't until yesterday, you can't. Not know yes. who he is. Bubba he's Wallace. A black man who drives around in circles.
Yes, he's a black
without
man.
Without the police following him.
Yeah. Ba-doom-ba. Try the veal. We're here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitresses. Yes, so Bubba Wallace is a NASCAR driver. And how all this came about was basically that he has been pushing for quite some time as a driver. As an NASCAR driver, to abolish and kind of outlaw the use of the Confederate flag mm-hmm. in NASCAR, which that's
people will down there will contend that it's a South thing.
I know
it's a Southern thing. It's a thing
trying
of
to get
identity.
Trying to get rid of the Confederate flag in NASCAR is like trying to get rid of the fucking Pillsbury Doughboy in baking. Yeah. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Or Aunt Jemima.
Well, let's not Wait. Even get into that.
Are we a pro Aunt Jemima podcast?
Are we? What do you mean?
I don't know. Where do we stand on Aunt Jemima?
We haven't even delved into it.
I'm anti high fructose corn syrup, so I say that we're a non Aunt Jemima.
Okay, but podcast. Here's the so here's
Bubba Wallace.
Here's the thing. Friend. Yeah. So one of the NASCAR drivers, and then they actually implemented the ban yeah. because they had implemented a while ago, but they didn't actually enforce mm-hmm. it. So this time around, with everything that's happening yeah. with the Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. movement. And George Floyd and the protests and everything else, they went, yeah, okay, yeah. that's it. No more Confederate flags. And one guy got pissed. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I quit. Mm-hmm. I'm just not, you know, who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so then apparently they found a noose in his garage, his stall at the track
made of materials that were already there, so someone took something yeah. that was in there and fashioned it, purportedly
it was a handle for yeah. to pull the garage door mm-hmm. up and down mm-hmm. and it was a big deal, and the FBI got called in and stuff mm-hmm. but here's the thing, this is what I really want to bring up is that NASCAR mind mm-hmm. you has done more to support Bubba Wallace in the last 48 hours than the NFL has done to support Colin Kaepernick in 4 years. Who knew that the slack-jawed Cletuses from the redneck merry-go-round mm-hmm. were actually going to be more progressive than the rich white team owners in the NFL.
And I mean,
who knew?
There are actual black and progressive fans of the NFL, whereas going based on stereotypes and generalizations,
yeah,
we could imagine that there's
not a lot of black fans that go to NASCAR.
Four black dudes watching NASCAR and the rest of the unwashed masses don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And he is. I don't know.
I don't necessarily think that's true. I
don't know if
NASCAR fans.
If Bubba is the only black guy in, but just the name alone, Bubba.
That reminds me of something.
Is not really. That's a redneck name.
That's
isn't it?
A Forrest Gump reference, if I've ever heard one.
That's before. Right, Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump Shrimp Co.
And they have there's a Bubba Gump Shrimp restaurant in Tokyo.
It's a chain.
In Japan.
It's terrible. It's just absolute shit.
But
Bubba Gump, you want to sponsor this podcast?
Yeah. We could use a sponsor. So listen, let's talk.
You hear that, Cesus? We need a sponsor.
Right. Where is all my stuff gone here? Statement, Walmart. Yeah, here we go.
Did you take your Alzheimer's pills today?
No, I'm just getting mixed up.
He's getting all mixed up.
So, former Bloc Québec leader Gilles Duceppe says that NDP leader Jagmeet Singh is playing cheap politics. So, can you, first of all, fill us in on the story of what happened?
Okay.
In Parliament.
So, this is...
I know you hate him.
I don't hate. You know what? I read up on him a little bit, and I've had to do some soul searching
as to,
because I have a visceral negative reaction towards Jagmeet Singh.
Why?
And I think it has nothing to do for his political platform, because that, as I read more about him, and overcame some of the poison that I feel coming up in my throat. Be like, this guy, he wants to legalize drugs. He's mm-hmm. for more progressive taxation, particularly on corporations.
Yes.
He's for housing. You know, like things that I can get behind. But still, there's something there, and I think it has to do with more of a intersectarian conflict that has occurred in the Punjabi and Sikh community going back for years.
Can you explain that to me? Because the one thing you blurted out the last time I brought up Jagmeet Singh was like, he supports terrorists! Which I just kind of left it at that, because that kind of hit me in the face. All right.
He's attended rallies for people who are purportedly Khalistanis or Sikh independence supporters, 2016, 2018. He took a long time to disavow the Air India bombing anniversary, which was yesterday in 1985. Sikh terrorists, primarily the Babar Khalsa from Canada, blew up a plane. It was the largest terrorist attack in Canadian soil, right?
I remember.
And Jagmeet Singh, from the sounds of it, refused to acknowledge that it was Sikh terrorists until it was politically expedient to do so.
And now he's calling French guys racist.
And
you don't agree with that?
No. Want to know what? I'm gonna say this, okay? Like, I have seen overt racism, and when I see overt racism, I will comment on it. But I see it much less than you would imagine, and I have experienced very little overt racism in my life.
Okay.
But when I do, like that R card, it is something special to me. It is something dear to me. I don't throw it out willy-nilly.
Okay.
Because it means something to me.
Right.
When I saw Jagmeet Singh in a newscast afterwards talk about somehow that this gesture of a brush off was a racist gesture, I was like, fuck off. That's trying to capitalize and make a political point with the attitude or sentiment of the time. Whereas it wasn't. This man, what did this man do? All he did was dissent.
Well, no, but there is more to it than that.
Oh, what more was there to it?
Well, basically, Gilles Duceppe says NDP leader Jagmeet Singh is playing cheap politics with his criticism that the Separatist Party's leader in the House of Commons is a racist for not supporting Singh's motion condemning systemic racism in the RCMP. Now, in an interview with the West Bloc's Mercedes Stevenson, Duceppe said Singh was wrong to call the Bloc Quebec House leader Alain Thérin racist for denying unanimous consent to the motion, which called on members of the House of Commons to recognize systemic racism in the police force. And then I saw an interview with that guy just today, and, you know, he basically said, I don't understand the problem. All we said is that we wanted to take a further look at it and do some studies. And this is the problem. This has been going on, like, forever. When you bring up the RCMP and racism, oh, we're going to look into it. We're going to do some studies. And then the woman who is in charge of the RCMP right now, the commissioner, actually, she had to backpedal because she was like, yeah, I'm not sure if the racism is systemic in the... And then she had to backpedal and go, oh, no, it is, and we're going to study it. And that's all they ever fucking do.
Okay, but so
is study shit.
That's fine. But here's the problem. We're just throwing around words right now. Big idea words like systemic racism, where if I challenge the man on the street or one of these people, tell me what the fuck systemic racism is.
Well,
and whether it actually exists within the RCMP. He's Jagmeet Singh is asking him to take a statement, make a statement of fact on an institution that there's no evidence for, or the like. What are we basing that on right now? We're basing things on emotion, fucking Twitter videos, sensationalism, and mobs in the street. And I'm not saying that systemic racism doesn't exist within the structures of Canada or within the RCMP, but I'm interested. I was having a conversation the other day where I was like, we're talking about sort of police violence within our communities here, and just as as quote-unquote racialized people. It's like, what police am I afraid of within our confines? I'm afraid of fucking Delta police.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of Port Moody police.
Why?
But I'm less afraid of RCMP police.
Well, see, you and I are opposite.
Because the feeling within Delta is you get pulled over for being brown.
Right.
The same feeling in Port Moody. Whereas, and we were wondering, it's like, why are we less afraid of the RCMP? And we were wondering, it's like, maybe there's higher standards to be an RCMP than a local police officer. Maybe it's the fact that they're sort of bounced around and they have a more, they get a sense of the nation, because an RCMP officer is not necessarily in control of where they are. They get moved around, so they get to see different parts of the country. So what I'm saying is, this is something that warrants a debate, not an instant condemnation of the RCMP. And if someone dissents within the parliament, like just to make it ad hominem attack on them, you're a fucking racist, that is fucking cheap. That's super cheap. And it demeans what we're doing here.
So I'm, as I understand it, you're saying that he is abusing.
He is
that
abusing.
Word.
I'll say it right now. It's like, I've experienced racism in my life. I hear a lot of people that experience racism. Most of the people I hear talk about fucking, that's racist, that's racist, that's racist, they fucking suck, and they tend to be pieces of shit. Where it's like,
okay,
the reason that I'm not getting ahead, or the reason that I didn't get that job, or the reason I didn't do this is because of fucking racism. And sometimes, sure, it is. But most of the time, I'm like, man, no, dude, you fucking suck.
I thought we kind of went through this in treatment and stuff, mm-hmm. about getting in touch with your feelings. And just coming out and saying, right, you know, what you mean.
I'm just saying, I have we have a real language impression of what racism is. Racism is, you have a malicious intent towards me and you want to harm me because I'm different and you think I'm less than you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't necessarily think that dissenting, as the Bloc Québécois leader did in that instance,
mm-hmm.
meets the standard of that definition.
Well,
for me.
Okay, on that note, you know, I'm gonna agree with you.
Yeah.
But there are two things. First of all, what you're saying, to go back to what you said about the Delta and mm-hmm. Port Moody and mm-hmm. stuff. Well, as far as the RCMP go, you know, yeah, you made some valid points, but ask any First Nations, any Indigenous person in Canada, and they'll be like, no. It was a police force designed to fucking annihilate us.
For sure.
So that's where the systemic racism comes from.
And within Canada, that is our special case.
Yeah. Now, myself, personally, speaking mm-hmm. from personal experience, I don't have a lot of beefs with the VPD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the VPD now, but mm-hmm. back in my day. RCMP, on the other hand, yeah. Never too happy to see them.
Yeah,
nor were they very happy to see me.
They're probably doing a large scale investigation on you and your fucking associates.
But the thing is, I had more run-ins with them. I lived in fucking Vancouver.
Yeah,
and yet, like, the cells I've been in have all been RCMP.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, never mind.
I'm just wondering, like, it just made me think. It's like, is having a nationalized police force, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Does it lead to a higher standard of policing? Or does it mean that the systemic rot creeps in and touches everything? I don't, like, I'm interested in that question from a data-driven perspective, as opposed to just, like, right now the mood of the times is just everything sucks, everything is fucking racist, and everything is fucking corrupt.
Well,
at its core. I don't believe that, because if that was the case, I don't think my father would have moved to this fucking country. I don't think that was their conception when they fucking moved here.
Is everything corrupt? No, but I think everything's corruptible mm-hmm. in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen many people go into politics, you know, local, maybe just like civic. And, you know, I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome because mm-hmm. shit's going to change. And then they get in there and they find out that, you know, it's this, the age-old story.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get this done, I had to kind of play save these people.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, I had to do this. And before you know it, you know, nothing's happening. With the exception of people like right now on Vancouver City Council, Jean Swanson. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't backed down on anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, not a lot of people are voting for her recommendations, but she is getting some things done. But in general, and as far as having a national police force, the RCMP is rapidly losing contracts within communities and cities. Alberta is now talking about a national police mm-hmm. force, or not
a provincial police,
mm-hmm. force. And I can't even imagine. So, you know, good mm-hmm. news for Chuck that they're bringing back fucking Texas mm-hmm. Rangers.
It's just before we shit all over the RCMP,
no, you're right.
I want to see some sort of documentation or analysis provided before we just say that it's a racist institution from the bottom.
Well, I mean, there's a lot.
Like that sounds boring, right? It sounds, but let's do a committee. Yeah. That's not fun. That's not exciting for the electorate. That doesn't make fucking good news, but that's the business of government.
Well, yeah,
to be but, fucking boring.
But
and that's what's awesome about Canada.
But there is tons of stats from the RCMP mm-hmm. in their arrest rates mm-hmm. and stopping people. And, you know, I mean, Indigenous people are like 2% of the population, mm-hmm. yet they're something crazy like, you know, 17% of the stops that they make.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
The same
right?
holds true for prison population.
So, yeah. 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 So, either way, but what I really want to know is when this conversation all started, mm-hmm. Because last week I was like, oh, what do you want to talk about on mm-hmm. the next show? And he went right away. You didn't even hesitate. Jagmeet Singh, because we've been talking about that a lot in my house. So what have you been talking about?
The guy, fuck, man.
This is what I want to know.
The guy, when he was up there, like, he was fake crying. Did you see that?
No.
Do you see that? He was doing that thing where he's trying to muster an emotion. He's changing the tenor of his voice. It's my job to sort of be with people and experience their feeling. And in that moment, I'm just like, there's no feeling there. There's political opportunism here because the tenor of the time is racism, racism, racism. And I found that very, very disingenuous. And I don't think all fucking white people are racist. I don't. And I just want to put this out there right now. White people, like, fucking white people, man.
All white people.
Like, I don't speak for all brown people, but like, fucking love you, man. I moved here. We moved to this fucking country because it's better than the fucking country we left. and
also white people, he's winding you.
No. Hold on. This is a real point though. Okay.
Okay.
You know what sucks? It's like when you're made to feel shame or guilt by virtue of your birth, because not because of anything you did, but because of the station in which you're born, like you got to feel like
You're talking about the class system in India.
I'm talking about the class system in India. I'm talking about even just growing up here and being like, you fucking smelly Hindu piece of shit. Like that's the kind of stuff that I experienced growing up. And you know what? That's a shitty place to be in.
Absolutely.
And I'm not one for revenge. I don't want white people to experience that. I don't want white people to feel guilty right now just because they're fucking white or they were born. I'm serious. Or okay. Born into a spot of fucking hegemonic power. I don't think there's any fucking solution from there, because if you're a white person, if you're going to come up to me and be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I'm in fucking a position of power and I fucking oppress you, I'm like, fuck off.
What?
Leave me alone. I want to engage with you as a fucking human being, not on this fucking level.
So you're going to really hate this then?
Oh, God.
This is what Trudeau said. In regards to what... Okay, I can do this. In regards to what Mr. Singh said, it is not for me to criticize any Canadian, particularly the only racialized leader in the House of Commons, for making other people uncomfortable by calling them out for not recognizing systemic discrimination.
This man,
that's what our prime minister
fucking Trudeau is. This did he come up with that? Did he come up with that off the cuff? That is such a brilliant malarkey statement that undercuts Jagmeet Singh, takes him spot, takes his stance, and fucking shits on the Bloc Québécois
at the same time.
He's a good politician, man.
He was born to it. He was born into a family of politics.
I gotta tell you though, when I saw that shoe polish on his face, that was the funniest shit I ever saw I think white people got fucking really, really. I mean, more white people probably got worked up over that, but we thought, at least in my household, we thought that was funny.
I still
like what it's like. You're doing Jafar from Aladdin, right? And it's like Jafar is Mideast. He's supposed to have that fucking, you know, a dusky complexion. Like me. And he went just hard on the black shoe polish. It didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, well, he's not, you know, our prime minister, as much as he is a great politician, is not the fucking sharpest knife in the drawer. He did that. He forgot about that shit.
Yeah.
How could you forget? Like, when you look at anybody running for office in America, they got a team of guys who are just going, okay, we're going to tell you right now, all we're going to be doing, these two guys over here, those two guys, all they're going to be doing for the next 6 months is digging up shit on you. Yeah. Just so you know, right? Mm-hmm. And they go, yeah, okay, cool. Well, they're also going to be digging shit up on the other guy, but you, because we don't want anything coming back to slap us in the face.
So let's hear it all right now so we can head it off.
Exactly. And we can spin it. We can, you know, troubleshoot all this stuff.
But in 99, 2000, I don't think putting shoe polish in your face to dress up as Jafar was really much of a thing.
No, but I mean, he wasn't running for office then.
No, so but even if he was at that time, I don't think it was much of a...
No, it wasn't at the time, but you got it. When he was running for prime minister, did he not have a team of guys going, hey, we're going to dig shit up on you? How did they miss that?
he's fairly Teflon. It doesn't seem to have affected him very much.
And here's the thing that kills me. Now, I knew that going into that election that Canada as a nation was way too racist to have Jagmeet Singh as a prime minister.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It wasn't going to happen. They weren't, there was no way. They weren't ready for it.
You want to hear a funny Jagmeet Singh story?
Okay.
Jagmeet Singh and his wife came to my door and...
He campaigned in Burnaby.
He's campaigning here and... my wife quickly, I wasn't here. My wife's like, we vote Liberal, and slammed the door.
No shit.
Then they went next door to my parents' house.
Yeah.
And my mom's pretty meek and polite, and they talk to her and stuff like that. The next thing you know, we got a fucking Jagmeet Singh sign in front of my house and in front of my fucking parents' house. My dad came home.
He's lost
like,
it.
It's like, take those fucking signs down right now. So, I believe we called them and told them it was a mistake to take their signs. We were just going to destroy their signs. And because, I mean, they could put them in another place and do their campaigning, but not in front of my fucking house. Jagmeet Singh. If we're not good enough for your temples, then your sign's not good enough for my fucking yard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
We can go into it later.
We will. We'll definitely save that for another time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Both what I did discover was both Jagmeet Singh and the pretty boy Trudeau are both, they come from privilege.
They do. And they're both and they're both empty. And they're both a symbol of the times. They're both, it's more important what they look like.
Yeah.
And the image they project, Jagmeet Singh is Mr. fucking GQ. I mean,
well, he is. Like, yeah. I mean, the dude, like, dresses really well.
My wife's like, that guy gets his fucking eyebrows done.
Does he?
Well, if he's a baptized Sikh, he shouldn't be getting his eyebrows done. He should be sporting a proud unibrow. He also shouldn't be wearing a $6,000 suit because the mouths of the poor are the treasury of God.
But he is from a wealthy family, right?
Of course he's from a wealthy fucking family.
Because he certainly dresses like it, acts like it. And his wife is some kind of influencer.
Some sort of fashion influencer, fucking.
And they both are like some, they're very attractive people, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you see them on Instagram and shit and you're yeah. like, wow.
Yeah.
They're like impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little empty is yeah, what you're saying.
I was feeling Thomas Mulcair, man.
Mulcair? Why?
I don't know. I was starting to feel the NDP a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Mulcair has come out and disavowed the Jagmeet Singh statements as well.
Says don't get me started on the NDP and what they are now and what they used to be.
Well, we know the NDP doesn't exist here to ever become the ruling government of Canada. They just exist to pull the Liberals left.
Yeah.
That's it.
And yeah,
yeah. That's what they're here for.
Anyway,
which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's mm-hmm. not. It's not at all. Okay, so now we get to the really juicy stuff.
I would like to fight Jagmeet Singh.
No, don't start
for
fucking last
the legislative spot Listen, of Burnaby. I challenge you, Jagmeet Singh, to a no-holds-bar fight. Winner gets the South Burnaby seat. He might kick my ass. Listen, I don't fucking know. He's some sort of fucking Brazilian jiu-jitsu
Yeah, he's
dude.
A BJJ guy. Yeah, he's a jiu-jitsu guy, apparently.
I don't know. But I, on the off chance that I could, first of all, if I beat him and became a fucking, like, a member of parliament, that'd be sick. Two terms, I get a fucking lifetime pension, and I don't need to do anything. That's the brown person's dream. Any fucking brown person who's running for parliament or for government, and I've been involved in multiple campaigns of people trying to enter government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you straight up, they don't give two fucks about helping anyone. Just want that pension money.
I'm looking at a disturbing trend here. So this week, you're challenging the leader of the opposition,
yes.
Jagmeet Singh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Head of the federal NDP in Canada to a fist fight.
Yes.
No holds barred. No holds barred. Yeah. Okay. So like UFC kind of style.
But you can kick him. You can kick him when you're down.
Okay.
And knees to a down opponent.
And last week it was the fucking Boogaloo Boys.
I'm a very repressed suburban man. I have a lot of rage inside of me. I gotta fucking listen to my wife all the time. I just need to get it out somewhere.
So I just like to say this for the record. On the podcast, that you know who's going to end up getting targeted. This guy is going to keep threatening people, but it'll be me stepping out of my fucking car one day and it'll be like, hey, you.
Yep, yep.
And then, boom.
At least we're, maybe we should pick some bigger targets, though.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I give you credit. I thought the Boogaloo Boys, I thought that was something else.
Yeah.
Anyways,
should we take a quick little break right here right now?
We should actually.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be right back after these messages from our non-existent sponsors.
Boom.
Welcome back to Wallace Hartley Presents, Part 2, and I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this when you told me about it. Yeah. First of all, I wanted to, remember I was talking to you last week about this book, which I finally brought, or remembered to bring so that you can read it.
Now that book looks like one giant red pill.
Oh, you have no idea. This book, Chaos, Charles Manson, The CIA and the Secret History of the 60s by Tom O'Neill with Dan Pippenbring. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. But this book was originally, look how thick it is, It was originally started out as a magazine article for Vanity Fair. Mm-hmm. And 20 years later, it's now this book. Obviously, he missed his deadline by mm-hmm. a little bit. So many of Tom O'Neill's friends apparently said to him, who were journalists, said, do not, under any circumstance, like, just don't go down that rabbit hole about Manson and all the conspiracy. Just don't do it. Because mm-hmm. we'll never see you again. And he went,
you fall down the rabbit hole.
And he said, no, I'm fine. It's just a little article that I pitched it to Vanity Fair, and they love it, so I'm just going to do this. And yeah, like I said, 20 years later. So this is, you know, if you're going to, when you start this book, give yourself, make sure you're ready to go. Because mm-hmm. you will just, it's a page turner. Mm-hmm. Everything just leads into another thing, and you're like, holy shit, does this get any weirder? I will say this about the book. It doesn't answer any questions definitively. Like, there is no smoking gun kind of proof. But there's enough in here. So if you want to say, speaking in legal terms, right? In a court of law, circumstantial evidence-wise, your ass would be going to jail, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So there's that, and there is, that, like, a lot of stuff that you just can't really deny.
So it implicates CIA and different
everybody.
Intelligence operatives as yes. somehow
so
being aware of or setting up Charles Manson.
That's kind of part of it, mm-hmm. but also, you know, there's like CIA and MK Ultra.
Yeah.
So the guy who was in charge of that, he was a big part of the free clinic in Haight-Ashbury.
Yep.
And then they interview Charlie Manson's PO, mm-hmm. who wasn't even a PO. He was fucking like, he was a psych student or.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was social work. Degree, I can't remember.
He was doing graduate studies.
Yeah, he
in
was
psychology.
Doing graduate
yeah,
and
yeah.
as a PO.
Yeah,
and then basically the big question was, hey, how come this like this low life 2-bit, you know, pimp mm-hmm. B&E fucking nobody with a rap sheet as long as my arm was on parole, but allowed to go anywhere and do anything he wanted
over and over and over, and again. Over again. And it's like, he's going to Mexico to do some yeah. work now.
Yeah. He's, yeah. His PO said, well, apparently he has a job in a band in Mexico.
Yeah.
And people went, oh, that's plausible. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy fucking psycho. Let him go. So anyways,
and
there you
thank
go.
Thank you. And that's how you can easily get into conspiracies.
This, but
their conspiracies aren't, it's not a dirty word. I'm telling you. Right now, it is a dirty word that anyone who has a view that's counter the mainstream narrative is a fucking conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, but you know why it's a dirty word and why people react that way?
It's disinformation.
Because
there's been an op to frame things as a conspiracy going
yeah,
back
but
for
also,
a long, long time.
Okay, case in point. Mm. There's a TV show, Ancient Aliens.
Ooh, Ancient Aliens.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Of course I know about Ancient
okay.
Aliens.
So
worst show, but anyways,
crazy motherfucker with the hair,
George Tsoukalos.
Yeah, just him.
Giorgio
okay.
Tsoukalos. Yeah.
So people look at guys like him and go, "Okay, that's how conspiracy theories get a bad name."
They do, yeah.
Because he isn't like, look at him; he's nuts.
Oh, best fucking weird Twitter thing I saw recently last week was. Yep. Ancient Aliens is racist. We need to cancel Ancient Aliens because it's racist, because they diminished the accomplishments of indigenous peoples by saying it was fucking aliens. They diminished the accomplishments of all fucking people. Stonehenge was aliens too. They were fucking white. So I don't get it. Anyways.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited because you brought this to me mm-hmm. and I didn't ask any questions because I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah.
Donald Trump and Roswell. What's going on there?
Donald Trump hasn't, I don't know if you remember before the election, Hillary Clinton was saying a lot of weird cryptic things about aliens.
No, I do not.
You don't remember this? You miss this? This was during the run-up to the 2016 election.
Yeah, okay.
Because Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, Podesta, and the Clintons have been involved with, or at least talked about, alien disclosure, getting to the bottom of the alien question for a long, long time. Real. And this this is part of the WikiLeaks cables, too, because there's one of the WikiLeak documents shows email communication between John and Podesta and who's the guy from Blink 182? Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge, yes, who's now heading to the Stars Academy, which is some sort of UFO disclosure / entertainment / science company.
Right.
Anyways, so people thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the disclosure president. She goes on Jimmy Kimmel. She's talking about aliens. She's like correcting Jimmy Kimmel. But like, no, we don't call them UFOs anymore. We call them UAPs. So it's like she's in the fucking know. So horrible. She was horrible. She's just the worst. But so if anyone was going to be fucking a UFO disclosure president, it's going to be fucking big mouth fucking Donald Trump, who doesn't know when the fuck to shut up.
No, exactly. You know what I mean? That's why I said this before. I think I said this on one of the other shows that there is no way in the world that Trump was a Russian spy because his big fucking mouth. There's no way in the world he'd be able to keep secrets.
But once in a while, he says fucking weird things. Like, he'll be like, we got weapons. You can't even fucking imagine the weapons we have, the things I've seen.
And you got to know there's guys in Area 51 going, somebody shot him the fuck up.
He's the guy who's created the next wing of the U.S. military, the Space Force. Everybody wants to laugh about it, like it's a real thing, but for any military, they need that. I mean, so much of the military nowadays is dependent on information coming down from satellites. If you take away their satellite capabilities, armies are blind, so they need to be able to protect their satellites. So all wings of the Army, Navy, Army, and Air Force have had space operations or been working on space operations forever. Yes. Even NASA has a military component to it, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not that crazy. So, but on aliens, he's been mum. Even though in 2017 in the New York Times, we had the disclosure made that the Navy had videos of UAPs or unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Yeah.
And Trump said, I've been shown it. I've been briefed it. I didn't really think much about it. So, nothing. I mean, people in conspiracy land have been hoping for something that, oh, I mean, we can talk about it more in QAnon. Trump is supposed to be the white hat who's going to fucking save us from the deep state. But
that's according to the Q.
Man. And well, maybe we'll talk about that next time, but I put you onto that and it blew your mind, didn't it? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly did.
Anyways, on Father's Day.
Okay.
As, I guess it's some sort of schmaltzy marketing ploy for the upcoming election. Trump's being interviewed by his son, Don Jr. Don Jr. asks him about aliens. You know, it's supposed to be the kind of fucking joke question, right? And Trump says something to the effect of, well, you know, I don't know anything about that. We can't disclose any files, but he's like, I do know some interesting things about Roswell. The stuff from Roswell, fucking very, very interesting. I can't talk about it, though. Do you think he fucking knows anything?
No, because if he did, he'd be talking about it.
He would be. But the mythology with Trump and UFOs runs very, very, very deep, right? If you get into this world, Trump has close connection to, you know who Roy Cohn is?
Yes.
Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn was the sort of political operator behind Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon is purported to be closely connected to UFOs. And you know how Trump talks about his fucking uncle all the time?
Yeah.
John Trump, who was a professor at MIT.
Didn't know that.
Okay. No. Nope. Well, in the post-World War II era, if you were a scientist, in World War II, in the post-World War II era, if you were a scientist worth his salt, who could produce something real and tangible, you worked for the fucking U.S. government in some capacity. Sure. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So John Trump, all the professors at MIT, all the Stanford, all the schools were in some ways affiliated with working with the government. And who knows, that might still be the fucking case. But he is purported to be connected to Vannevar Bush. No connection to the Bush family, who was head of the UFO file. There's also stories in the mythology that when Tesla died, it was actually John Trump who went in there and retrieved fucking Tesla's file. So this shit goes deep. So
okay,
people in the conspiracy were like, Trump knows all about this.
Can I say something?
This. Yeah.
Okay. If Trump knows anything about aliens, or if he actually knows any aliens, mm-hmm. it would only be because he's into them for enormous fucking loans for his failed casino on mm-hmm. fucking Jupiter or some shit.
Possibility.
Guarantee. But
I think that the truth is more confusing than that. I don't think there's much to know. Not in the fact that there isn't some phenomenon out there, but that we really don't know what the fuck it is.
Here's the problem, right? So from the word go, mm-hmm. it's been, you just have so much, maybe it is misinformation, mm-hmm. but, you know, shit like Alien Autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another film that this guy made. I watched it on Netflix. And he claims to have been abducted, and he's got all this video footage. Have you seen it?
And I think that's one. It's by a guy named Stan Romanowski or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That one has been proven, has been debunked as that guy's a fucking, he's sure. a grifter.
There's
grifters in this area, 100%. There's grifters in this area.
But what I'm saying is, because of stuff like that,
yeah.
makes it very difficult for most people, you know, to even take anything seriously.
It is. And within, throughout the, since the 1940s and 50s, the U.S. government has actively infiltrated UFO organizations. They have done counter intel on people in the UFO. They've spread disinformation, and this is documented. Like Richard Doty was an Air Force intelligence officer who was feeding UFO stories to a man who was surveilling, who was interested in UFOs and was surveilling an Air Force base, and this man eventually killed himself reportedly because of this disinformation. So I mean, this shit's been fucking going
on.
But
you know me, I'm pretty, mm-hmm. I'm a big skeptic.
However, you should be.
However,
yeah,
that would not deter me from doing at least one or two shows from mm-hmm. Roswell.
Okay.
You know, because they got some cool shit there. They got like the alien, get it? Alien in. I think it'd be cool.
So it's not necessarily interesting that Trump mentioned that. He's all in. He just talks. He just talks.
Because as we've established last show, he's a meth head.
Yeah.
So
we don't know that.
We do.
No, we Listen, don't.
We have. Okay, Holy you're fuck. Right.
You're,
we don't know that.
You're going to get so much shit right now from people who like have been diagnosed with ADHD. That are like, you're slagging people with a diagnosable
I'm
disorder.
Slagging, I'm fucking slagging AD, Trump,
ADHD
man.
Medications don't make you act like Donald Trump.
Yeah, probably. You're right.
You take speed. Although you take speed long enough, you're going to start acting like fucking Donald Trump. Okay, but.
I would get slagged if we had any listeners.
Yes, that's true. But the interesting thing
about
this is that several days before Trump said that, the New York Post, they have this podcast. It's like in the fucking basement or something like that. This guy named Green Street, along with Nick Pope.
Yeah.
And Green Street's just a journalist of the New York Post. And Nick Pope is used to be with the Ministry of Defense in the UK. And he was reportedly head of their UFO file. He's in shows like fucking Ancient Aliens and stuff like that. But he was a real government official that would get these sort of unidentified sightings.
The only reason I know him is because of the incident at the U.S. Air Force base there in what
Rendlesham Forest.
Yeah.
And which is one of the famous canon UFO sightings that happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
Anyways, but what they were talking about then was they were interviewing a man. What was his name again? Eric Davis. I fucking know all these names. Eric Davis. Eric Davis is a physicist, and he's worked with the military as a contractor many different times. And he's also worked for Bob Bigelow, who's a billionaire in the United States, who's deeply interested in UFOs. He's a billionaire from Vegas. He reportedly had a sighting, and he's interested in paranormal phenomenon. He's the guy who bought Skinwalker Ranch, and he's been studying this phenomenon out of pocket for many, many years. He also started an aerospace agency, and his aerospace agency also got the contract for ATIP, which was to study unidentified aerial phenomenon in the mid-2000s until 2012. Anyways, so Eric Davis is on this show, and this has been the scuttlebutt in the UFO community. There's a rumor going back many, many years to 1997.
Okay.
That, what was this guy's name? Oh, fuck. What was his name? Get it there. Oh, yes. So there's this fucking nut named Steven.
And he's involved with the UFO conspiracy? No.
There's this fucking, there's this fucking nut named Steven Greer.
Okay.
He's like an old transcendental meditation guy. He's also an ER doctor. But he gets on this kick about like there's a fucking alien conspiracy. The US has all this fucking technology. They're not disclosing it to us. They've had fucking connect. Anyways, he gets fucking... He starts creating a movement of people who've had various sightings, and they want to go to the U.S. government and go to Congress and have a congressional committee to unearth this. So they're doing all these fucking like meetings with high-level professionals, high-level individuals. So reportedly Greer, along with Edgar Mitchell, who was an astronaut, a sixth man on the moon, who was big in the New Age movement and also believed in this stuff and reportedly had some interactions. They go to this guy, Thomas R. Wilson, in 1997, and they brief him and they say, Wilson, there's this fucking back engineering programs of fucking alien technology. And this guy's like, you know, there's no fucking way that's possible, because if there was, I'd fucking know about it because right. I'm the fucking head of intelligence. So he said, I'll look into it. The story is later on in 2001, he did fucking look into it. He got into this special access program. And then when he got there and found out the third-party contractor that was administering the program, they told him that you don't have a need to know. And when they pushed him harder on the issue, when Wilson pushed them harder on the issue, they disclosed, yeah, we're back engineering technology. There's this many people here. We're having a real hard time because it's so secret. We can't fucking talk to anyone, but we can't fucking talk to you. And if you keep pushing us on this issue, you will not, you will suffer severe career consequences. So... whatever. You know what? People claim they have fucking conversations all the fucking time, right?
Yes.
Right? So then what happens is, reportedly, Eric Davis has this conversation with this general in 2001, 2002, in a car somewhere in fucking Vegas, records it, and writes it down. And it confirms all this information. So now this, after Edgar Mitchell died a couple years ago, this was in his files, and somehow it leaked from those files, from his files. So now this document is circulating around that there's a secret fucking UFO back engineering program that the head of security in 1997 of the United States under Bill Clinton was unable to access because he didn't have a fucking need to know. So they were talking about this in the fucking New York Post, and the word on the street is this story, just like the 2017 story about ATIP and a program to look at unidentified phenomena in the sky, is about to hit the fucking mainstream media. And a day or two after, we have fucking Donald Trump and Donnie Jr. talking about fucking Roswell, of all fucking random things. It's just fucking interesting.
So, it's not interesting. You're saying this to get people going, hey, that Harge is on to shit.
And this is how conspiracy theories
start.
Continue rolling. So, don't start, they continue rolling.
Let me tell you, so you know who Bill Nye is?
Fuck Bill Nye.
Bill Nye the science guy.
I know who Bill Nye the science guy is.
I remember, originally I remember Bill from the Seattle comedy scene.
Yeah.
Because he used to do stand-up before he became Bill Nye, the science guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always an engineer. And at the time, he was working for Boeing in Seattle, because like 90% of Seattle at the time in the 80s was working for Boeing. Anyways, now, of course, he's famous.
Yep.
And there is, do you ever watch, I subscribe to a thing called The Big Think.
No.
Yeah, and they have little videos and some articles and stuff like that. But a lot of really big names will do these little videos, mm-hmm. and they're usually short. They're like, you know, 5 to 6 minutes. And Bill Nye had one where kids wrote in with questions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions was, Bill Nye, science guy, do you believe in aliens?
Mm-hmm.
And Bill described in great detail, as a contractor mm-hmm. for the U.S. Air Force, and someone who had worked at Area 51, that unequivocally, nothing like that exists. He was like very, look, I was there, I worked there, maybe I didn't have that kind of clearance, but mm-hmm. yada, yada, mm-hmm. yada. I can tell you right now, the only thing they're doing there is like testing, you know, this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, I mean, if they are doing it, the last place they'd be doing it is fucking Area 51.
Well, I get, because too many people know about it.
I mean, Bill Nye also is, he's a bit of a debunker.
Yeah, well, very much.
They car him out on news. And actually, in 2007 or 8, Edgar Mitchell and him were both, they were talking about this. Like, this story resurfaces every couple of years. They were talking right. about this Wilson story on Larry King. And,
Larry King.
And Edgar Mitchell, who's an astronaut and had his PhD in physics or astrophysics, mm-hmm. told Bill Nye to shut the fuck up.
Did he really?
He did. He got very, 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 very perturbed.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, he did. So,
well, I gotta say, I'm skeptic, but at the same time, there is, so here's the thing. I'll just say this. I'll wrap it up with this, right? One of the things that I have difficulty with when it comes to the world we live in and we as human beings, mm-hmm. You know, and it can be a really shitty place. And human beings have been known to do some pretty horrible, horrible things to one another. And, you know, in my line of work, in our line of work, mental health and addiction, you know, we hear the worst of the worst. And, you know, I've experienced myself growing up some pretty shitty things. So I don't have the highest opinion of people. And when people say, especially friends, good-hearted people, meaning well, they're like, well, you know, my faith in Jesus or God or whoever is, that's how I do it. That's how I get by. I got to say, I'm a little envious of this. But in general, it's because people cannot handle if they were ever to come to the realization that, you know what, this is it. This life on this spinning
in this cold, hard material.
Rock, yeah, traveling through space at a gazillion miles an hour. This is it. There's nothing past this. It doesn't matter how many fucking good deeds you do, or, you know, try and make up for, or penance and all that crap. This is it. There's nothing else. So you should really make the most of it.
That is a very...
And I kind of find it's the same...
Post-19th century white person view.
No.
Very, very secular.
It's...
Fairly...
No, it's just that I kind of find the same thing with people who believe in aliens. They're like... Because it's like, what? No, you're alone. This is it. It's just... Fuck, there's nothing.
But we don't know that.
No, we don't know that. But I'm just saying.
And that's what it is. It's just, rather than jump to the conclusion that we are alone, it's just an interesting question.
Well, and the weirdness is the light on top of the camera, just every time I say shit like that,
so
it starts going off and on.
To the 2.5 people listening to this, what do you think about fucking aliens? And fucking... I mean, they might not be from another fucking planet. Like, it could be weirder than that.
It could be. It could be a lot of things. Yeah. But thank you for bringing that to our attention.
And let's see. Let's wait in the coming weeks. Does anything come of this story in the media? Are you going to hear it? That'll be really fucking interesting if we do.
Very much. Mm-hmm. Next week on the program, we will be talking about QAnon that you actually got me into. And just talk about a rabbit hole. Holy crap.
Talk about a dangerous conspiracy theory.
We are going to talk about China, because, you know, that's my pal, they keep screwing up. And the two Michaels, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, who are still being held and now actually formally being charged with espionage by China. And this is all, we all know this is all to do with Meng Wanzhou.
That's why you don't do business in China, homies.
So we're going to be talking about that. But more importantly, I'm very excited because I just read today that on the Howard Stern show, actress Charlize Theron was slagging the shit out of Steven Seagal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, for listening, whether you're listening on Podbean or Spotify or watching us right here on our YouTube channel, Wallace Hartley Presents. We're so happy to be here in your ears, in your earbuds, whatever the hell, however you're listening. And anything you guys want to talk about, you know, leave it in the comments on either of the websites. Let us know what you want to talk about.
And start a fucking petition to get me to fight Jagmeet Singh. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Agree.
Like even, I don't care. We can make a fucking pay-per-view out of it. Like I'm down to get fucking paid because I need some COVID money, man.
I will be placing a lot of side bets.
Okay.
Just so you know, I don't want you to take it personally. It's just, yeah, I got to get paid too. Thanks again, folks. The name of the podcast is Wallace Hartley Presents. I'm Glenn Lamont. This is the Harge Man.
Harge.
Join us again next week and every week. Thanks for listening. Later. Try not to be a dick.